It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 21.
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him.
God has revealed himself to the babes, not little babies. He's trying to say, if you are born again child of God, you will know who Father is. Without born again experience, you cannot even call God Abba Father. The St. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he gives you power and authority to be called the sons of God. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, he says, God the Father sends the spirit of his Son into your spirit. Why? Because you are a children of God. So you could call the Abba Father. So without knowing Jesus Christ, you will not understand the Father. So here he's saying, God has done a miracle that he has given this power to the little babies. Means born again children of God to understand who the Father is. And the verse 22, he says, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. So what he's trying to say? Nobody knows who the Son is, only Father knows. And then he says, and who the Father is but the Son. What he's trying to say? If you want to know who the Father is, only Son can deliver to you. And Father will tell you about Son. So Father talks about Son, Son talks about Father. So they know each other. Matthew chapter 3, please read. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Now, who is talking? Father is saying about his Son. So the Father is testifying about his Son. St. John chapter 1 verse 18. Son, could you please read?
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
And the Son said, no one knew who God was, but the Son was with Father. That Son came into this world, and that Son revealed us who Father is. So only Christ revealed who God is. Without Jesus, we cannot understand who God is. So the Father talks about Son, Son talks about God. Okay, read St. John chapter 5, verse 23.
That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him.
He said all people should honor the Father and honor the Son. So that means if you do not honor the Son, you cannot honor the Father. And so some people say, oh, we need Father, we don't need a Son. Our God says, I send my Son. I sacrifice my Son. I give my Son as a gift to you. If you deny him, you're denying me. If you want to go to Father, Jesus Christ says, come through me. I am the door. I am the way to go to Father. Without me, no one can go to Father. Go to the 1 John chapter 2, verse 23.
Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also.
It's very simple. He says, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. But if you receive the Son, you got a Father and the Son. That's why the Word of God is teaching us, when we are born again, we can understand who Father is. And Jesus says, I will come, I'll bring my Father with me, and we will make our home in you. That's why when we are born again, we can understand the Father, we can understand the Son, we can understand the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 23.
And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them.
You people are so blessed. From Genesis until the Jesus Christ came, all the prophet, we just heard a few minutes ago, 1 Peter chapter 1, all the prophets were searching about salvation. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53, even though he did not see, but he was saying what the crucifixion is all about. All these prophets preached about Jesus Christ. If you take the Christ or the Jesus prophecy from the Old Testament will be useless book. If you take all the signs and wonders and miracles and Jesus' name from the New Testament, this book will be useless book. So the Word of God is saying, all these prophets and all these kings, they wanted to see me in person. But he says, you are blessed. You saw me face to face. Prophets and the kings, they wanted to see me. They had a great desire to see me and hear me. But you are so blessed that you are able to hear and see. We are the blessed people. We are blessed than all the Old Testament people. We are blessed than all the angels. You know why? Because when you are born again, angels are the serving, ministering spirit. They are not higher than you. They are lower than you because they are serving you. Old Testament people, you take from Genesis to John the Baptist, they were great people, but the Word of God says, whoever is the least in the kingdom of God, he will be greater than even the John the Baptist. So we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those people were washed by the blood of bulls and goats. So we are greater than all the Old Testament saints. We have seen the prophecy fulfilled in front of our own eyes. Jesus Christ came, died for our sins, and rose again. Do you know what he said to Thomas? Blessed are those people didn't see me and still believed. St. John saw the clothes and he believed. Peter went inside and looked everywhere and he did not believe. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I touch him and put my hand in his hand and put my hand in his side. Jesus says, Thomas, come here, check me out. He fell on his face and he says, my God and my Lord. And Jesus said, Thomas, because you saw me, you believe. The blessed the people are who did not see me and yet believe. One lady said to somebody, I heard your Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door and you open the door for me and I'll come and eat with you. And she went home. And she prayed, Lord, I want you to visit me someday. There was a knock at the door. She opened the door. She saw Jesus coming. And she said, I sat with Jesus and I had dinner with him. So Jesus Christ is real. Book of Luke, chapter 10, starting from verse 25.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.
Here we see the lawyer who knows the Bible. And the lawyers, they have to know the law. If they want to present the case, they learn the law course, and so they can argue with the judge, according to this law, this person is not guilty. This lawyer is a biblical lawyer, knows the Bible very well. His name is not given, it says certain lawyer. Now this lawyer comes to Jesus Christ, and the Word of God says he came to tempt him. There are certain people really wants to know what the truth is, and some people, they know something, means they are thinking they are smarter than you. And that's why sometimes people ask you some questions. Jesus Christ said to this man, "You are a lawyer. You know the law. Tell me what you think." But the law is written about it. If you want to go to heaven, what you should be doing? And then he gives the answer. When he gives the answer, according to the Old Testament, let's read and see if his answer is correct. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5.
"Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might."
Let's go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18.
"Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord."
Now here we see this man quoted the words from the Deuteronomy, quoted the words from the Leviticus, so he knew the law. He knew what he's supposed to do. But he might be thinking, there is not a single person can live according to the scriptures, so Jesus Christ might have some other way to tell me to go to heaven. The word of God says, our Lord is one. You cannot worship some other gods and be so religious and thinking that I will go to heaven. Jesus Christ told him, tell me what the law you read and what you understand the law. And he said, you love the Lord from all thy heart. And he said, with all your soul and with all thine strength. So the word of God says, when you praying to God, you're worshiping God, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, everything should be dedicated to God. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if this commandment, any person in the world will follow, there will be no crimes, there will be no prisons, there will be no police officers, and life will be much more easier. Because if you love somebody like your own, then you are not going to cheat somebody, you are not going to kill somebody, you are not going to rob somebody, you are not going to envy somebody, you are not going to do anything which is wrong. You love the Lord and you love your neighbor. That's a perfect law. There are 10 commandments. Out of 10, if you do these two, you will make it to heaven. That's why Jesus Christ said to him, you want to go to heaven? Do these things. And then he answered the question. And Luke chapter 10, verse 28. Then Jesus said to him, you answer everything right. Do this, and you will have eternal life. Whatever he asked, Jesus approved him, said to him, you know the truth, you follow this truth, and you will go to heaven. But this man was not satisfied. He wanted to play more smart. So he's asking another question to Jesus Christ. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 29.
But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Now, when the word of God says, but he, willing to justify himself, and said unto Jesus, what does it mean, justify to himself? That means he is thinking, I'm righteous. Who is my neighbor? Because there are so many people living in the world, they have bad relationship with their neighbors. Only born again Christian people will have good relationship with their neighbors. Now this man thinks, I'm good man and nothing wrong with me and I will go to heaven. But let me ask Jesus Christ, what is he talking about neighbor? Is he talking about neighbor means next door neighbor? Or is he talking about coming from the different language person? Or is he talking about the different culture person? Or is he talking about different religion person? I want to know what Jesus Christ is thinking. So Jesus Christ gives him an example. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, starting from verse 30.
And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Now he said, by chance means this priest was not going that way purposely, but accidentally this man was going. Why this happened? Sometimes something happens and we don't know why this happens. Now if this man, a priest walking on that way, he should be thinking, when I'm coming this way, I never planned to go this way, and when I saw this man lying here, maybe God sent me for the right time to help this man. Otherwise, why should be I'm coming this way, I never planned? Because he says, it just so happened. Man was not planning, the priest didn't have any appointment. Verse 32.
And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side.
Now he said there was another Levite. Now priest and Levites, they are coming in a religious family. From Levites, the priest comes. And the Levites has a different jobs, but all those jobs they do, tabernacle job, or doing the Lord's services. Now this man is lying and suffering. Priest came, saw him, turn other way, and walk other way. Levites comes, that's the same. But both people walked away. Now the third person comes. Read verse 33.
But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him.
Now, again, this Samaritan man's name is not given. But I believe this Samaritan is not an ordinary man. He is a businessman. He has the money in his pocket. He has the oil with him. He had the wine with him. And so this man is a businessman traveling. But see, thief did not come to rob this Samaritan. God protected this Samaritan, even though he had the money. He had everything, and he is going for a business trip. Somebody says, why in the world that other man got robbed and had a problem? We don't know. But only thing I can tell you, if you are a child of God, you have the protection of God. Book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, when you are born again, you have the protection of the angels. If you are a born again child of God, you have protection by the blood of Jesus Christ. God keeps the hedge of protection over you. If you read the 91 Psalms, what he says? Because you live under the shadow and under the wings of Almighty God. So we have protection. We don't know this Samaritan was a godly man, but he had compassion. When you have compassion, that means you love. Only God inspires you to love somebody. With this Samaritan man, didn't care this man was a Jewish man, he was a rabbi, he was a priest, or he was a Pharisee, he didn't care. He only knew this man needs my help. If I don't help this man is going to die. Jesus Christ came, he did not say to the people, why did you commit sin? Why don't you live a clean and holy life? Why you don't worship God? Jesus said, I did not come for righteous people. I came for sinners. Why? Because he knew if I give my life for sinners, and if they invite me into their hearts, I will give them supernatural power and they will live clean and holy life. Without Jesus, no one can live holy life. No one can live victorious life. So here Jesus Christ is giving an example. The third man came, verse 34.
And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him.
He did not say, oh, this man is messy, his blood is flowing, and my horse will be ugly and dirty. I cannot give him ride. But he gave his own horse, and he took care of him, and now he is bringing him to the hotel. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 35.
And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.
Verse 34, he says, this Samaritan took care of him, and then he takes to the hotel. Maybe he got another extra room for him, and he paid for the hotel. That night, that man may be serving him whole night, taking care of him, comforting him. And then next day, this man is going for his journey. So this Samaritan saying to this hotel manager or the landlord, whoever the man was, he's saying, you know what? I'm giving you 2 denarii. Now, King James, he says, pence. But if you read in a New King James, it says 2 denarii. Now, 2 denarii. Now, 1 denarii is the whole day's salary. That's what the point I'm bringing. That 1 denarii was enough for the whole wages of whole day. So this man gives to the hotel manager 2 denarii. He says, whatever you spend, more than this, when I'll come back, I will pay you more. So this man had a compassion. He was not just saying, I'm going to take care of this man for a few minutes, and when I go, I don't care what happened to him. He did not want this man to die, this man to suffer. So he said, okay, I gave you money for 2 days. Within 2 days, I'll be back. And if in case you spend some more money, I will give it to you. So this is the real love, real compassion, and real Christian attitude. Now, this example, Jesus Christ gave it to him, to this lawyer, and then asked him the question, what do you think? Let's read verse 36.
Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Whoever showed compassion, love, mercy, I think that's the person should be called his neighbor, even though he was not a real neighbor. But that's the attitude you should have with anyone. Because anyone you see, that is your neighbor. Not only person lives next door to you. Your job to trying to rescue the people from inside. And that's what we have to do. The whole world is on fire. People are dying without God and without Christ. It is our duty to rescue them and tell them, Jesus is the answer. There is none like Jesus. And that's what Jesus Christ was trying to say. Now Jesus says, that good Samaritan did a good things. And you said, this is the right man. He did the right thing. Then Jesus Christ says, you go and do likewise. You want to go to heaven? You do what the Samaritan did. The point I'm making, people are giving life for Christ, and the people who killed them, father or mother or their relatives, they're forgiving them and giving their life, putting their life on the line and preaching the gospel, bringing those people to Christ. We have to learn like a good Samaritan. We want to go and help somebody, go out of our way to bring that person to Christ. There are people trying to kill us, trying to destroy us, trying to take the Christian name out of the country, out of school and everywhere. There are certain things they are changing in the Bible also. The point I'm making, there are people are against Christ and against Christianity. But we have to know what is our part. This man realized that Jesus told him, okay, go and do likewise. And the man didn't have any questions. Now the subject changes. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38.
Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house.
Martha invites Jesus Christ. Jesus, could you come to my house? Now the Martha story, you invite somebody to your house, you should have everything ready, and you should not be complaining. Martha invited Jesus Christ. Now see what she's doing. Let's read the verse 39. Luke 10, 39.
And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
So Jesus Christ is preaching, Mary sitting there and listening, but Martha, now Martha is missing what Jesus Christ is saying. She's supposed to say, okay, let's listen, let's have a prayer meeting first, and then we will make food. Or let's cook the food first, and then invite Jesus Christ, so I will have a chance to listen. Martha, cooking so many dishes and so busy, so everybody will have sympathy towards Martha. Poor lady, working hard, she wants to feed Jesus. Jesus said, hey, I fed people with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 5,000 people. I'm not worried about food. God supplies our need. Why are you worried about food? So here comes Martha. Go ahead, verse 40.
But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.
Now she's coming and blaming Christ. Don't you care about me? Mary was helping me in cooking. As soon as she saw you, she came and sat here and she left me alone. And now I'm worried and you never cared about me. You didn't say to Mary, why didn't you finish helping Martha and then you both of you can come. Now she came and left everything to me and you don't care about me. She didn't listen to Martha. The Mary did the right thing. Martha was angry at Mary. I'm going to sit with Jesus. Now she said, I'm going to go and complain to Jesus. So Jesus will say, Mary, go. But see what Jesus answers. Let's read verse 41.
And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things.
See what he's saying? Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled. What do you mean careful? Means you're worrying about so many things and that troubles you. And your heart is troubled. Let's read the 42.
But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.
He says, there is only one thing is good. What is that one thing? He said, but the Mary has chosen. Now somebody says, but Jesus didn't tell us. What is that one good thing? And Mary has chosen. What she chosen? She chosen Jesus Christ. She said, I want Jesus. I want his words. His words has life. He gives me eternal life. He gives me peace. I want Jesus. And so he says, one thing you need. Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things, what? The Gentiles are seeking. God says, I know what you need. I will supply your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.